This is Carolyn Cromings, and welcome to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we talk about everything related to contractors, construction, and information to help you run better businesses. Hey guys, and welcome back to the Quit Getting Screwed podcast, where we deal with all of the things in the construction industry and try to really help you from quit getting screwed or stiffed or all the bad things that could potentially happen out there. As you know, the construction industry is a rough and tumble industry. First, I want to get into a little bit of why I care and why am I putting this out into the world. I grew up in rural Illinois, a working class family, what I like to call the get shit done tribe, and grew up in a family full of subcontractors. You know, my grandfather was an excavation subcontractor, and an uncle that was an irrigation subcontractor, and my other uncle was an electrical subcontractor. My dad's side of the family was farmers. So I've always just been in a world of we work with our hands, we get things done, and we have to because we don't have any other choice. That's what has to be done. And I think most of the businesses in the construction industry are that way. And having grown up that way and know what I've learned through law school and my 16 years in construction litigation, there's so much I've learned that can help you not get into litigation, run better businesses, get paid on time, this whole list of things. And so that's really what I'm trying to do as I put this stuff out into the world. And so that being said, I'm excited to announce that my second book was released on Amazon last week called Quit Getting Stiffed. It's made Amazon bestseller, very exciting. And the main point of the book is collections and lien rights in Texas specifically. And that being said, there are lien rights in all 50 states. The difference in all 50 states is when is notice required to be sent and when is the lien supposed to be filed. You know, it's just different in all 50 states. I don't know why, but that's the way it is. And so as a project with this book, I went and studied all the rules for all 50 states, and you can find what is exactly actions you have to take for your state at subcontractorinstitute.com for free. The rules are just up there. Go check out your state. You know, Texas requires a whole book. Most states don't. And so you'll find up the rules up there for your particular state. So I want to dive into this discussion of what a lien is, because I think we hear it sometimes, we don't understand what it is or what it means or what a powerful remedy is. So liens are extremely important, and the construction industry is the only industry that has a remedy like a lien, right? And so what is a lien? Well, first off, why are liens important? A lien is important in the construction industry because the entire construction industry runs on credit. So like the people from the Get Shit Done tribe, we supply labor and material, and then we wait to get paid. So basically, we are extending whoever we're hired by credit on the hopes that we're going to get paid. And so in the world, there are two different types of credit, right? There's unsecured credit and secured credit. You can talk about it, and you're extending credit, so they have a debt that's owed to you. So it's unsecured debt and secured debt. And so when you get a credit card, like a Home Depot credit card, and you go buy a bunch of materials at Home Depot and then don't pay them, they have to sue you in court, get a judgment, and then try to find assets that you have to collect that judgment, right? So that's an unsecured debt. A secured debt, the best I think I could compare it to is that when you go to buy a house, if you don't have enough cash to pay for a house, you go to the bank and get a mortgage, right? And you say, hey bank, I need this money to buy this house, but I promise to pay you. And the bank takes a lien on the house called a deed of trust, or it's called different things in each state. But basically it's a lien on the house that if you don't pay them, they're gonna foreclose and take back the property and sell it to get the amount that you owe them. That's called a secured debt because they already have the asset secured if you don't pay. And so what a lien does for people in the construction industry that work in credit is it takes your debt that's unsecured and makes it a secured debt. Basically, the amount you're extending on credit is secured by the property that you're improving, right? And to the extent that you're owed money for labor and material used to improve that property. And that's a very extreme remedy here. You have a lien on somebody's property. And so when you're in a contractor in this situation, you have a contract, or you need a written contract if you don't have one. You have a contract and you're working. And so even if you don't have a lien right, you still have your contract claim, which is basically your unsecured debt. The same thing as a credit card company has against you if you don't pay your bill. But if you follow the steps to get a proper lien in your state, you'll have a secured interest, which is like the mortgage company in the property that you work on. And the ultimate remedy for that is foreclosure of that lien, which would ultimately lead to the sale of the property to make sure that you get paid. Now, most 99% of that does not go that far, and you get paid way before that. And that's the whole point, right? Is to get paid as fast as possible. And this is leverage. So a lien is a security interest in the property. And why does that matter? Okay, so it matters because an owner cannot sell that property or get a mortgage on that property without taking care of a lien. So if you have a lien filed, it has to be taken care of before any of those things can happen. So it's really great leverage. But with great leverage and a great remedy comes great responsibility. So that means you can't just go off and file a lien. You need to know specifically what notices are required in your state, how they need to be sent. They have to be sent exactly on time. There's no room for error here. If you miss a step, your lien will be invalid and actually could do you more harm than good. Because just think about it, right? When you go to the bank and say, get a mortgage, you're signing paperwork with the bank that says, hey, I agree, I'm going to pay you, and if not, you can foreclose on it. When I, the contractor, file a lien on your house, you're not agreeing to that. That's called an involuntary lien, which means, you know, I still have the same rights as the mortgage company, but you're not agreeing to it. So there's lots of steps in place that you have to follow to make sure you do it right. And it's very dangerous if it's done incorrectly. It can result in fines, paying somebody else's attorney's fees. So it's very, so very important that it's done correctly. And just saying that is that most of the online lien forms out there, or online lien places where you can buy liens or subscriptions, are not doing it correctly. If a client comes to me with a lien that's done by a lien service, I have not had one that's been valid yet. And so they say, hey, what can I do? And I'm like, there's not much that you can do, because I'm not going to file a lawsuit to enforce this lien because it's not valid. It wasn't done right. And so spending the time to find somebody that does it right is so worth the money. And I'll tell you guys, I've really put some time into figuring out what is economical and affordable for my clients. And so I have a couple different options. Is that, you know, you can go to Subcontractor Institute, all the rules are there for free, right? You can buy those, you can buy all the forms for $200 and do it yourself and follow the rules. You can also hire my firm to do it on a lien by lien basis. Starting, most states are $500. Or we have a subscription pricing that's, you know, for unlimited liens per state is $1,000 a month plus cost. So I've really made something affordable. And here's the thing, is that I am not a lien filing service. I act as a collection agency to make sure we collect your money. I'm not just sending letters because that's what's legally required. I'm taking steps to make sure you get paid. So most of my clients get paid without ever having to file a lien, because I'm making phone calls when I send out these letters. It's, you know, and I'm not aggressive. I'm just, hey, you know, we're unpaid and here's the steps of what's going to happen if we're not paid. And having that communication come from a lawyer's office, you know, not your office, and at an affordable price, why wouldn't you outsource your collection department? So just something to think about in the long run. A lien is a great remedy if you know how to do it right. Like I said, it's different in all 50 states, but it is allowed in all 50 states. It's just knowing what to do specifically for your state. Okay. The other thing that I've realized after studying all the 50 states is that, yes, each state has deadlines of when notices need to be sent, but no state has a penalty for sending it early or doing it early. And so what does that mean? That means if you know there's a problem, send it early. You don't have to wait to the deadline. The other thing that means is that if you've signed a pay when paid clause, sending a lien notice is a great way to, you know, make sure that the owner pays the general so you get paid. Saying, hey, down here I haven't been paid, and for some reason, whether the funds have come from the owner or not, it lets the people at the top know that you remain unpaid, and they can make sure that you get paid before a lien is filed. And that's the whole point of why notice is required, right? If you go to Subcontractor Institute, or if you buy Quick Getting Stiffed, I put it in there. It's called the construction food chain. And it's got the owner at the top, the general contractor, normally I call them the place one contractor, And then the subcontractors are placed two, and material suppliers and sub-subs are placed three. And it can go on like that forever. But as you know, like a material supplier or sub-sub is in place three, right? And you want to file a lien because you haven't been paid. What the laws of all states try to do is send notice so that the people at the top have a chance to make sure you get paid before they have to pay twice, before they pay the general or the person above you. And have end up having to pay twice. In some states, you know, the liens are only valid to the extent that the owner has the funds. So definitely there, the faster you send your notice, the better off. You know, you can find that out at Subcontractor Institute, which states those are. But so meaning that you would only have a lien to the extent that the owner still owed the place one contractor, the general contractor, money. And so, like I said, is that even though some states have really long timelines of like 90 days after last work that you have until you send your notice, it's way better idea to send it earlier. It's going to be more effective. You know, it's going to make sure you're going to get paid faster, because if somebody has to pay twice, they're going to drag their feet and try to find any way out of the fact that they have to pay you. And so that takes time, that takes lawyers, and you don't want to do that. So, you know, having a built-in consistent collection strategy that's based on your state and your particular cash flow needs, right? So if you just have, you know, you invoice, you're done. It depends on your particular, your commercial construction or residential. Residential use, you know, for residential guys, I say if you finish a job and you're not paid in 30 days, you need to start the collection procedure, right? Sending notices, even if by your state, you're allowed to do it a lot later, just because the further you get out, the less likely you are to get paid. And, you know, send those notices and say, hey, I'm not going to pay it. I'm going to have to file a lien. Nobody wants a lien file. So, and on commercial projects too, especially if you're working with the same GCs over and over again, if they know that you're going to send your notices, you're going to send them on time or at this particular time, the squeaky wheel gets paid first. So you don't have to be aggressive about it. You just have to send your notice and say, hey, I got to protect myself and my family, and I have to send these notices. And the notices go to their customers to make sure that you get paid. And nobody wants their customers to know they're not paying their people below them, especially if they've been paid. Now, if they haven't been paid, they shouldn't care, right? Because all they can go to the owner and be like, hey, I told you I needed to be paid, and this is what's going to happen if you don't pay me. I can't pay the guys below me, and they're going to send these notices, and they could file liens. So a lot of the times, sending notices is so effective at making sure everybody further down in the food chain gets paid. So know that going into it. Like I said, that's a way in most states, so like 90% of states, you cannot pre-waive your lien rights, meaning you can't sign a contract that says, I give up my lien rights before I start working. Don't get me wrong, they might have it in the contract, but it's not enforceable. And so what does that mean? That means whatever the contract says, you can still file your lien. You can still send notices. So if you signed a pay when paid clause, it doesn't stop you from filing a lien. It doesn't stop you from filing that procedure to, you know, send the notices to make sure that you're paid. Those two things are, you know, if you sign one, doesn't mean you're giving up the right to do the other. So definitely find out in your particular state if you're allowed to pre-waive your lien rights, because in most states, it's not enforceable. The lien is such a great remedy. It has to be done correctly. Notice is a huge part of that. Another place where liens get kicked out all the time is that it wasn't sent properly. Currently, the only way to 100% prove when you sent a letter is to go to the post office and have it stamped. That is the only way to conclusively prove the date that a letter went out, right? If not, if you don't do it that way, then you deposit it wherever you're going to deposit it, and eventually it'll get into the post office system and you can track it on USPS, but it could be 2 or 3 days after you put it in the box. So I know it's a pain in the ass, but you need to take it, and you know, every month we go and we have bags to be stamped for all our clients to prove when these things go out. But that's what it takes to do this correctly. The other thing that I think you need to be aware of about lien rights is that as soon as you send a notice of lien or that you're going to lien, things you've never heard of before all of a sudden are brought up. Like, so I send out a notice on behalf of my client that we're going to file a lien, and all of a sudden we get this list back of all this bad work that they did that needs to be corrected, which is usually not valid. Usually you know, usually you've done a walkthrough and clients are happy. I'm, you know, not saying all the time that it's not. Knowing that there's some things that you can do when you're done that can limit those defenses, right? So when you walk through and the client's happy, have them sign off, hey, you know, I'm 100% done, you're happy with my work. And that way this defense is taken away from them. So when the intent to lien shows up, they can't say you did bad work. And the other thing that I hear a lot is, okay, I filed my lien, now what? It's been forever. These things really don't work. Now they do work. So here's the thing is when you file a lien, like I said, an owner cannot sell the property or get a mortgage. But what about the properties that aren't selling or getting mortgages anytime soon? Then the lien will just sit. And so there's got to be a conversation about your lien's been filed now. How long are we going to let it sit, right? Because in most states, in under a year, a lien expires if you don't file suit to enforce the lien. So maybe we'll let it sit for a while and then you'll have to file suit to foreclose, right? And sounds very dramatic. It's just any other lawsuit. The owner gets served, right? And says, hey, if you don't pay me, I'm going to move forward with this lien. And that really brings it to the table and makes it get dealt with. Because if you're sitting in a situation where the property is not going to be sold anytime soon, or it's not going to be remortgaged, your lien is probably not going to be dealt with. So like, but the main thing is like on new construction normally is in construction financing. And then when the project is done, has to go to permanent financing. So any liens filed in between, you know, construction financing and permanent financing will have to be taken care of. So keep that in mind if you're on a new build or something that's new construction, is that there's probably a loan involved that's probably going to go to permanent financing. So if you file your lien, you're probably okay with just sitting on it for a while until it goes to permanent financing. The other thing that I think is hugely important is that retainage. I know not all states require retainage. I like the idea of why retainage is withheld. Basically, you know, it prevents the owner from paying twice, withhold 10%, and that's the owner's liability, which is a good idea in theory. The problem that I see happening is how long does it take to get paid retainage? First off, if you're one of the first guys on the job, getting paid retainage when the project is complete is already a long time. But even if you're one of the guys towards the end of the job, you're still waiting 120, you know, 9 days. And I've seen subcontractors walk away from their retainage. If you're not making more than 10% on a project, that is your profit. I don't know why you would walk away from that. You need to fight for it. And so here's what I tell my clients is that when you're done, file a lien for retainage. You could say retainage lien. It's out there. That way you make sure when the owner pays the general contractor retainage, you will get paid your retainage. And you're not just waiting on the general contractor to issue a check whenever they feel like it. Because the leverage for the general contractor to pay you once we're at the retainage stage is gone. They're not in any hurry. They don't need you back at that job. You know, they're like, when we get around to it, we'll pay it unless you file a lien. So whenever you're completed in the project, you can file a lien early for retainage and just say, hey, I want to secure my right to be retainage when it is paid from the owner and not sometime thereafter when somebody feels like paying me, if ever, years later. That just doesn't make any sense. There's a time value to money and you want to get yours as fast as possible. So there's nothing wrong with doing that. And so just know that going in is if you build the cost of filing a lien for your retainage into your project amount, it's not going to be a surprise. That way you're secured and, you know, I get to say, hey, the lien is only for retainage. So once retainage is due and I get paid, it'll be released. So just something to keep in mind that I think is a good idea to help get you paid faster. And so at the end of the day, you're not worried. You know, I know what it's like to run a small business. And if you're owed money, you can't pay the people that you need to pay, like your employees, you know, all your vendors. It comes around Wednesday. If you haven't gotten the checks that people owe you money, you're like, how am I going to make payroll? So if we have a consistent collection strategy where we do the same thing every time, that's going to be less of an issue. Instead of waiting until we're in dire straits and, you know, your P&L is like, oh my gosh, where's all my money? And you go look and it's like everybody owes you money. And being in that dire situation, if we have a consistent strategy set up on the front end, you won't be there. And you'll collect most of your files. You know, you need to have a percentage goal that you want to, you know, write off less than 2%. That is something that can be done if you have a consistent collection strategy that involves liens. So, you know, like I said before, I'm here to help. I'm here to help you develop that strategy and do as much of it as you can on your own. And then turn it over to me whenever you're ready. Or if you want to outsource the whole thing, I kind of went over all the options. Whenever you're ready to do that, just let us know. We're very good at what we do, especially collecting money. And I've been doing it for a long time, and I had to do it for myself for a very long time. And so when you do it that way, out of necessity, being that desperate person saying, I need this money so I can pay my people, you learn the best way to do it. And so through that experience, I now know how to do it, and I can do it for you very efficiently. And most of the times without having to file a lien, because we do so much on the front end, which is better for your business. So subcontractorinstitute.com for the rules for all 50 states. Buy the forms, or, you know, hire us at the Cromings Law Firm. We have subscription. We have single liens. Call us to find out more. We have some great subscription pricing. So I thank you guys for listening. And until next time, hang in there. Thanks. Thank you for listening to this episode of Quit Getting Screwed. I hope you found it helpful. If you like what you hear, please like us and follow our podcast. If you want further information, you can find us at subcontractorinstitute.com. We're also on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And the book is available on Amazon. Tune in 2 weeks from now for a new episode. Thank you.